You know, the service, if you were here when we opened the service, it's always kind of interesting to watch how many folks are here when we begin the service, and then how many are here about this time of the service. But if you were here in the first part of the service, we opened up, the worship team opened up with a new Christmas song. I'd never heard it before. JD was sharing it with us in staff meeting this past week, but it's a takeoff on Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we were in staff meeting, we were talking about Christmas carols and the season of the year, and we were talking about how that, you know, there's lots of new songs that are coming out, but some of the old Christmas carols, you know, the Joy to the World and the Silent Night and the Hark the Herald Angels Sing and the Shepherds We Have, or Angels We Have Heard on High, and all those other songs, you know, there's some really deep theology in some of those. In fact, the words, if you were here, you may have picked it up on that chorus of Hark the Herald Angel that was part of the new song that they were singing this morning. Listen to these words. I mean, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that's not necessarily the greatest title to a song, but listen to the words here. Mild He lay His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. I mean, that's why Jesus came. Listen to this other verse. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. I mean, wow, those are just rich words. This morning, I was, you know, thinking about some of the other songs, and everybody's got their favorite Christmas song. One of my more modern, and I say more modern, it's not like 200 years old, but it's really not even new anymore, but Mary, Did You Know? The song Mary, Did You Know? I just love that. I love the words in that song as they walk through the life of Jesus and all the incredible things that He did. And the question is, you know, Mary, did you know? Could you have possibly known, as you're giving birth to this baby that night in Bethlehem, exactly who He was, exactly what would take place in His life? And there is a few things that Mary could know. I mean, the angel had told her some things. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. The Holy Spirit's coming upon you. I mean, His name's going to be called Jesus. He's going to save the people from their sins. She had an understanding that He was the long-awaited for Messiah. But Mary, did you really know all those things? And there's no way she could have known. No way that she could have known how that He would one day walk on water, that He would feed 5,000 people with a Happy Meal. I mean, there's just no way that she could have known all of the things that Jesus was going to do, the miracles that He would perform, the people that He would raise from the dead. But here we are today, and we get to look back on those events of that first Christmas. We're kind of looking in the rearview mirror. We've got this perspective of time, and maybe the question this morning isn't so much, Mary, did you know? Maybe the question of the day should be, Tommy, do you know? Or maybe you could fill in your name in that blank. Do you know? Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you know what He came to do? Do you know the power of Christ that redeems and saves and delivers and heals and makes us strong and makes us well? Do we really know? And if we do know, then how have we responded? How have we? That's really the most important question. It's not just what do you know, but what have you done with what you know? Have you yielded your life to Him? Is He your Lord and Savior? Or is He just somebody that you know about? Mary didn't just know about Jesus. She knew Him as His mother. God doesn't want us to just know about Jesus. He wants us to know Him. And so as we are in this Christmas season, there are a variety of different ways that people perceive Christmas, a different variety of ways that people approach who Jesus is. And I want to just share with you this morning three ways that people see Jesus at Christmas. Three different approaches that we can take You know, we ask the question, Mary, did you know? And what did you do about it? What do we know? But there are three different possible ways that people view Christmas. One is that Christmas is a reason to be irritated. How's that for starting on a positive note? But it's kind of reality, isn't it? I mean, even for people who love Jesus, who are Christians, sometimes, come on, let's just be honest, sometimes in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on at Christmas, do you just feel just a little bit irritated? Do you sometimes ever find yourself asking the question, I can't wait until Christmas is over? Maybe you've said that before. It indicates that there's this kind of a rub that's there. And sometimes it's kind of a mild irritation. It's not like we hate Christmas. Nobody's accusing us of being the Grinch or Ebenezer Scrooge or anything like that. We just feel the, you know, got to go shopping, got to get out in the mall, got to deal with all the traffic, got all the busyness, or, you know, online, you're worried about porch pirates. I don't know what it might be, but, you know, there's this irritation that can sometimes come with Christmas. Sometimes it's just mild. Sometimes it's a little more than that. Sometimes it's this frustration, this rub that, you know, I've got to spend money on presents for people that they don't even need the presents that I'm going to give them, and I'm going to use it with money that I don't even have to buy them. So I'm going to put it on a credit card, pay it off for the next 12 months or whatever. You know, we clear our credit card just in time to get in debt again for the next Christmas. So I'm going to spend money that I don't have for presents that people don't need, for people that sometimes we don't even like. I mean, come on, you know. And so, yeah, I don't really want to do that. Yeah, sometimes it's a little deeper than that. Sometimes it's maybe because Christmas is supposed to be about family, and it's supposed to be about festive and joy and togetherness. And sometimes Christmas, for some people, can be one of the loneliest of times. It's a very lonely time. There's this feeling that I don't fit in. I'm not a part. It's a hard time to walk through. There's this irritation that comes with it. Maybe Christmas, for some people, it's the first Christmas since they've lost a real significant person in their life, a parent, a spouse, tragically has lost a child, and now you're going through Christmas, and you're thinking about all the what it's supposed to be like, and yet there's this missing table, this missing chair at the table, and there's this irritation. For some people, it goes much beyond that. It's a severe irritation, even a militant level. I mean, like, I hate Christmas. You know, there are those people that are out there. You know, they don't like it when you say Merry Christmas. They don't like it that we have Christmas trees. They don't like it. They don't want us to have manger scenes and nativities set up. They really are offended, as it were, by Christmas. They're really irritated. They wish that they could stop Christmas if it was possible. You know, irritation at Christmas isn't something that's just happened in the last few years. In fact, if you go back to the very first Christmas, you find a biblical counterpart of a man who really did not like Christmas. He was very irritated about Christmas. His name was Herod. Look with me what it says in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men are in Herod's palace, and they ask this question, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled. We might say today, he was irritated. It bothered him. It upset him. And all Jerusalem with him. You say, well, okay, I can maybe get why Herod was upset, because Herod was known as the king of the Jews. And now these wise men come in and they're asking, where is he that's born king of the Jews? And Herod's going, wait a minute, I don't have an heir to the throne born in my palace. So who is this? Who's this imposter that's trying to come in, that's trying to push me out of the way? We might understand that, but this is then all of Jerusalem with him. was irritated. Why did the rest of Jerusalem? Well, they weren't upset about Christmas. They were upset about Herod, because you see, when Herod got upset, bad things happened. He was not a very nice man. In fact, history tells us that planning on his death and wanting to make sure that there were people who would cry on the day of his death, he had actually given orders that certain people would be killed on the day of his death, so that at least tears would be shed on the day of his death. That's the kind of man that he was. And it's not hard to believe that that's really true, because we do know what happens according to the biblical narrative, what Jesus did about this king of the Jews. He gives this order. He says, I order that every child age 2 and under that's been born recently within the proximity of Bethlehem has to be killed. He's trying to stop Christmas. He was irritated by Christmas. That's one of the ways that people view Christmas. Secondly, there's a view of Christmas and Jesus and Christianity in general as a religion to be tolerated. Just something to be tolerated. In Acts chapter 17, and it's not a Christmas passage. It is a biblical passage. It's not a Christmas passage. In Acts chapter 17, it says that Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" See, the Greeks prided themselves as being philosophers and thinkers and being open-minded and tolerant and willing to embrace and to accept new ideas. And so they had on this particular hillside these statues to all of the various gods that were known of that day. But then they had this one, in case that they had missed somebody. They were so open-minded, so tolerant, that they had this one to the unknown God. I'm going to come back to that for a moment, because Paul wanted to speak to them about that unknown God. You see, they had a tolerance for religions. And there's a lot of people who are irritated by Christmas, but then there are others who see Jesus through the eyes of simply tolerance. They try to tolerate him as a religious icon, a spiritual figurehead, as it were. They see him as just one religion among many. And of course, in this tolerance, there is this idea that everything is equal and all ideas are acceptable and none is better than the other. And so, you know, okay, we're tolerant. We'll tolerate Christmas. We'll allow it to exist, but only if we tolerate all of the other religions of the world. You know, sure, put up your Christmas tree, wish each other a Merry Christmas if you will, but be sure you also celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or the Hajj of Islamic tradition or Buddhism or Scientology, voodoo, or cannibalism if you want to. And you're like, wait a minute, you're going a little far with that, aren't you, Pastor Tommy? But hey, wait a minute. Do you remember, it wasn't but just a few years ago that right here in Oklahoma, in the spirit of all things being equal, in the spirit of tolerance, in the spirit of, okay, if you Christians are going to have your Ten Commandments at the Capitol in Oklahoma City, then we're going to put something else there. You remember? We're going to erect this pagan god to Satan or whatever. I can't even remember what the name of the thing was. But anyhow, we're going to put that up. If you Christians can have your Ten Commandments in tolerance, if we're going to tolerate you, then you're going to have to make room for us to do this. See, this is this tolerance. We're going to just tolerate Jesus. We're going to tolerate Christmas. You know, tolerance is not a new idea. Going back to the scene that we read about here in Acts that's going on in Athens, these people who think that they're open-minded, that they're tolerant of all kinds of religious ideas, and they've got this one idol to the unknown God. And Paul stands up and he says, "Hey guys, can we talk about this idol? Can we talk about this inscription? Can I talk to you today about the unknown God, the one you don't really know anything about? I'd like to introduce you to him. I think I know who this is. And he begins to tell them about Jesus, and it's not long before they've shut Paul down. And suddenly we find out that the tolerant are not so tolerant. Have you discovered that? And sometimes the tolerant are really not so tolerant after all. You see, because the reality is, everybody's got a line that we draw that says, well, I'm tolerant of everything up to this point, but I cannot tolerate anything beyond that. And everybody's got their line. Everybody's got their point. I mean, I guarantee you that the most extreme person that you might know, the most liberal or whatever, who thinks that they're really tolerant, if I was to tell them, well, I've got this religion that we sacrifice babies, all of a sudden they go, whoa, now that's too far. Or if I was to say, well, my religion is that I only work on Thursdays for 4 hours, but you got to pay me for a full 40-hour week. Suddenly you would find out that they're not quite so tolerant. See, everybody's got a line that they draw. And they're like, we can go this far, but no farther. Actually, what I think I've discovered recently, I think you've discovered the same thing, is that tolerance has been replaced by cancel culture, which is the next step past tolerance. But the reality is, it's actually more honest. Because tolerance is like, yeah, we're open to everything. We love everybody. Everybody's got a fair share. Everybody's got a fair chance. Okay, you Christians are fine. But no, we Christians in their eyes are not fine. Jesus in their eyes is not fine. This Christmas that we celebrate, as long as it's Santa Claus and ho, ho, ho and passing around presents, maybe we can handle that. But as soon as you start bringing Jesus into the picture, when you start talking about the Son of God being born in a manger, when you start talking about Jesus being the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by him, all of a sudden it's no longer tolerance, it's cancel culture. So that's the world that we're living in today. And my encouragement to us is that we would find ourselves being like Paul. That when we find these people who are tolerant, that we share with them about Jesus, the real story, about a Messiah, about a God who loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world so that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's not just tolerance. It's a message of Christmas that we need to proclaim. Which brings me to the third view of Christmas, and this is my view of Christmas. Not that it's a reason to be irritated or that it's a religious something to be tolerated, but that Christmas is all about a Savior who is to be celebrated. It's about a Savior to be celebrated. That's what the angels said when they announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's what the angels were saying when they said that she's going to give birth to a son and you're going to call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sin. The message of Christmas is a message of salvation, and it's about a Savior that we celebrate today. So why do we celebrate Christmas? Let me give you three quick reasons. First of all, we celebrate Christmas because Jesus is no longer in the cradle. I know we talk about him in the manger. Mary and Joseph laid him and were at them in the swaddling clothes. They laid him in the manger because there was no room in the inn. That's the beginning. That's when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We were singing earlier, show us your glory, show us your glory. And that verse goes on and says that the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a sense in which we can catch a glimpse of the glory of Jesus in the manger, but you're not going to ever see the fullness of his glory until you see the grown man, the man Jesus, The full-grown man Jesus, who walks on water and feeds the 5,000 and heals the sick and raises the dead and introduces us to the Father in a way that we could have never known Him before and lets us know that we can have a personal relationship. We can talk with God. That's how we begin to see the real glory of God. I heard the story of a family that was going around through the city looking at all the Christmas lights. If they were here in Tulsa, they'd have probably gone over to Rhema. And then they'd gone into the different neighborhoods. And they would have looked at all the... And this family finally comes to this nativity, a beautiful nativity. And the mother says to the little girl in the family, says, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? And the little girl said, yes, it is. But Mom, I got one question. And she says, well, what's your question? She says, when is the little baby Jesus ever going to grow up? He was the same size last year. You know, some people, they just want a little baby Jesus. Jesus doesn't just want to be little baby Jesus in your life. He wants to be full-grown baby, full-grown Jesus in your life. He wants to be Jesus who walks with you and talks with you and shows you how to live in a way that honors and pleases God. He wants to be your friend, not just a baby. And so we celebrate Christmas because He's no longer just in the cradle. There's a second reason why we can celebrate Christmas, and that's because He's no longer just on the cross. You see, He was born to die. And He did. Loved us so much that He, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the pure and spotless one who never sinned, who was the only one who could possibly be a substitute for you and for me to pay the penalty for our sin. The penalty of our sin, the Bible says, is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, Jesus, the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die on a cross in order to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin so that we could have that, the most amazing gift of all, the gift of eternal life. We celebrate Christmas because He's not on the cross. I read the story of a woman who had gone into a Christian bookstore and she was looking for a necklace. She was looking for a cross necklace and she had looked at the whole inventory, everything that they had, the different kinds of colors, metals, sizes, shapes. And she just didn't find what she was looking for. And finally the sales associate says, ma'am, can I help you? And she says, well, I'm looking for a cross with the little man on it. We've all seen those crosses. I want to tell you, I like the cross. Well, we can't see it with the Christmas tree there today, but I like the cross that doesn't have the little man on it anymore. That He's no longer there. He's no longer suffering for your sin and my sin. Yes, He suffered. He once and for all paid the penalty for our sin. But then He came down from the cross and they laid Him in a borrowed tomb. And so we celebrate Christmas because He's no longer in the cradle. We celebrate Christmas because He's no longer on the cross. But we celebrate Christmas because He's no longer in the tomb. Hallelujah! He lives today. The angels declared that to the ladies who came to that tomb that says, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen just as He said. Now, maybe some of you are getting just a little bit confused right now and you're going, wait a minute, did I fall asleep in the Christmas sermon and wake up at Easter time? Because this sounds a whole lot more like Easter than it does like Christmas. No, let me assure you, today you did not fall asleep. I don't know what you did last week, but today you did not fall asleep. This is still just a couple of weeks before Christmas. You say, well then, Pastor Tommy, why are you talking so much about a cross and a tomb and a grave and a resurrected? Because that's the message of Christmas. You can't have the message of Christmas and talk about Jesus being born without also talking about why He was born. That He was born to die, to pay the penalty for our sins, but not just die, but rise from the dead so that we would have the gift of everlasting life. Hope is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Yes. Praise the Lord. So let me just sum it up this way, and then I'm going to close. I believe that the basis for our celebration of Christmas is this. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. Brigham Young is dead. L. Ron Hubbard, dead. Mary Baker Eddy, dead. Jim Jones, dead. All the Dalai Lamas, except for the current one, dead. Moses, dead. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the child that was laid in Bethlehem's manger, who lived the spotless life, who died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, who was laid in a borrowed tomb, came forth on the third day as he said that he would, and he is no longer dead. He is alive. Hallelujah! Praise the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today for the message of hope, for the message of life that is found in this baby Jesus. Mary could never have known. She could have never known what she was holding as she gave birth to the Son of God. She could have never understood the fullness of all that he was going to reveal to us about God's plan of salvation, about his incredible grace and mercy and love, about the plan that he has for all of our lives, that we don't have to perish, but that we can have eternal life, that we don't have to go through this world in darkness, but that we can walk in light, that we don't have to be beaten down and trodden under by Satan and oppressed by him, because Jesus came to set the captives free. Lord, we celebrate Christmas today. It's not just an irritation. It's not just something to be tolerated. But we embrace Jesus. We embrace the message of Christmas, the message of hope, the message of salvation. And to us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We celebrate you today as Christ our Lord. My prayer would be that if there are those today who've not yet crossed over to that place of making you Lord, if there are those who maybe you're still looking at Christmas as something as a reason for irritation, or maybe they've just kind of been going through life just kind of tolerating Christianity. Lord, today may they fully embrace you. Find the forgiveness and the life and the hope that is in you, and make you the Lord and the Savior of their lives. Lord, this is what we pray today. In Jesus' name.
Christmas, I think, as Pastor Tommy was talking this morning, and as I was listening to the message, there's this story that came to my mind. It's something I lived. It's an experience I had. I was trying to get out of Christmas shopping with my mom several years ago. We're in the store, and I'm trying to, like, find a way to, like, leave her with the shopping list because I do not like shopping. And so, you know, I decided to be spiritual and be like, Mom, you know, maybe the Lord has someone that he wants to meet today, or maybe I'll get an evangelism or something like that. Let me just leave. And I was like, okay, well, Father, I guess, who do you have to talk to? And I kid you not, guys, I had two names, two things that came to my heart. His name is Philip, and tell him I am your sign. And I'm like, okay. So I'm walking around Walmart just looking around, and I have an affinity for big TVs. So I go to the electronics section, and, you know, the books are over there. And I kind of look to my left, and there's this guy holding a Bible in front of the book stand there, and he's just holding it. And there's something in my heart said, that's Philip. And I said, okay. So I go over there, and I go, and I'm a kid. And I go, hey, Philip. And he kind of looks over, and he goes, how do you know me? I was like, well, I don't, but the Lord does. And he told me to tell you, I am your sign. This is the truth. His knees buckle. He drops to his knees and he begins to cry. And he begins to like weep. Like it was just a cry. It was a weeping. And he started making a scene and I was like, okay, calm down. You know, like the guy, the attendant came over and she was like, hey, baby, are you okay? I said, yeah, I think we're okay, but you might want to stick around because I don't know. And he looks at me and he says, I was standing here with the Bible in my hand and I just said, Lord, he says, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And if you don't show me a sign, I'm going to take my life tonight. And here I am, a kid trying to get out of shopping. And the Lord says two things to me. His name's Philip. And tell him, I am your sign. And he gives his life to Jesus. And he joins a spiritual family. And he finds hope. And this is, I think about this story every year around this time because this is when it happened. And I think that's where a lot of the world was. Before Jesus came, guys, there was 400 years of complete silence spiritually. That's a lot. That's a long time to be saying, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And I think he shows us these signs day in and day out, even now as he's opened up his treasury. He's opened up his heart. He's revealed himself through the man Jesus. And every day there are little kisses. There are little signs. There are little impressions. I am who I say I am. There is no other God than me. And you must know me through my son Jesus. That's literally what this is about. Pastor Tommy just preached this wonderful message, and guess what? That was a sign that there's hope in Jesus, that there's forgiveness and mercy and freedom in Jesus. I've experienced it. So many of us in this room have experienced it. It is not this theory. It's something you'll live. It's something that you'll feel. It's something that you'll know. You'll have confidence in it. And here's your sign. God, if you're real, you can look around you, and how many of us have experienced the hope and the comfort and the beauty and the healing of Jesus? Well, look around you. There's your sign if you need it. So with every eyes closed and every head bowed, and let's respond to this invitation. Let's say yes to hope and comfort. Let's say hope. Let's say yes to freedom of our mind. And let's say yes to peace in our heart. Let's say yes to restoration of our family. And restoration of our mind, and let's say yes to him. And today, if you're the one that's just saying, I need to say yes. I want this, and I haven't said yes to him yet. And I'm longing for this. And I may have been looking for freedom and for healing and for this love and this family in all the wrong places. And you say, I just feel it in my heart. This is it. This is what I needed to know. I would invite you to just wave at me. Just wave at me. I don't see any hands. So that means all of us in here, I'm assuming we're spiritual family, we're in the same family, but maybe you're online and you're waving at me. Well, it's really simple. You just talk to him. Let's actually talk to the Lord together and say this with me. Father, I thank you for your mercy, for your grace revealed in the man Jesus. I thank you that through him you have paid the penalty for my sins, for my wrongdoing. And through him I can ask for forgiveness, and you will forgive me and make me new. And so I do ask for your forgiveness for all of my wrongdoings. I ask for you to make me new today. I'm yours. I commit my life to you. Teach me your ways. Lead me on a leveled path. In Jesus' name, amen. If you sincerely prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. To the spiritual family, let's give God praise for whoever just may have sent them. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what it's about. It's about lives being changed. Yeah? It's about not just our gifts, it's about the gift. Amen? Amen. So before we leave today, I want to welcome Rob Seller up. He's part of our administrative council. An amazing guy, and he's going to wrap it up for us today. God bless you all. Happy Christmas.
Yes, happy birthday. Hey, good afternoon. It is afternoon. I am fully aware that I'm the one thing that's standing between you and lunch right now, so I will be brief. But we do have this opportunity and this tradition each and every year to have the chance to bless Tommy and Carol with our Christmas offering. We actually give them the opportunity, give us the opportunity to show them our love, show how much we care about them. We can never outgive God. We can give and we can give, and we can never outgive him. I've tried all my adult life, and I still haven't been able to do it. I hope that you will take this chance to show them how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, how much the leadership of Tommy and his vision for what we do as a church body in this community and the community surrounding us to be able to serve God and serve him well. So let's serve Tommy and Carol well now. Let's pray, and this is a closing prayer, so once we're done here, you're welcome to go. Father, we just thank you. We glorify your name. We love you. Lord, we just come before you humbly and just thank you for the gifts that you've given us, and now we want to give a gift of gratitude, of love to Tommy and Carol to bless them during this Christmas giving season. And we just thank you for that, Father. Help us to show them our appreciation. Help us to show what you've been doing in our lives and that we can get that can share that with you, with them, through this gift. Lord, we just give you glory and honor for this week. Help us to do your will. Help us to follow your steps. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and guide us and lead us each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give you glory for all the good things in our lives. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.